Our scripture text this morning comes from the Gospel of John. We'll be looking at verses chapter 6, verses 41 through 59. John chapter 6, verses 41 through 59. Hear God's word for us this morning. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. This is God's word. Let's pray as we consider it together. Lord, we ask that you would speak through your word this morning, that you would speak through this fallen man. Lord, no one is here, Lord, to hear a motivational speech or a pep talk. We are here to hear the word of God. So would you use me, even me, and that you would use us, even us, that as we hear your word preached this morning, that you would speak to us, that we would leave this place knowing that we have heard the one true God speak and worship, and because of that, we cannot remain the same. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Where does food come from? I think many of us who are adults hopefully know that it's not directly the grocery store. But if you've never been to a ranch, if you've never been to a farm, if you're perhaps a city kid, the answer is Smith's or Albertson's or Costco or Sam's Club or whatever it is. That's where food comes from. Now, I don't think any of us here are farmers. Looking around, I don't see any farmers. I know some of us, there are at least a handful of us who I know have chickens and do the egg thing. But most of us, I think we like the idea of farm to table, but few of us are able to deliver on that idea. There's always at least a middleman or two. I mention this because there's a layer between us and our food that didn't exist in Jesus's day. So when Jesus is talking about being the bread of life, he's talking about something that's much more present, much more tactile. I mean, famine in Jesus's day could wipe out a nation. Today, famine means the prices at the grocery store go up a little bit, and usually not for long. A great example of this is a show that I've seen far too many episodes that I can count. The show Survivor, it's still around, by the way. On Survivor, of course, they drop a number of men and women kind of off as almost a shipwreck, and they don't give them a whole lot of supplies. So one of the things you can win on the show is you can win chickens. It's always a debate about what they're going to do with the chickens. Are they going to allow them to lay eggs, or are they going to just butcher them and enjoy a chicken lunch, for example? It's always a very big deal about who's going to eat the chickens, but more importantly, who's going to kill the chickens? Who's going to do the dirty work of plucking all the feathers and those kinds of things? It usually winds up being those who are farmers or those who are ranchers. Very, very few people volunteer to do the dirty work. And so you get this idea that we're separated from our food in a way that at Jesus' time they weren't. And one more factoid to support that is something D.A. Carson puts in his commentary. He notes that 85% of wages went to food. 85% of your take-home pay, so to speak, goes to food. Now, I know a lot of people that push 50% on their housing, for example, but 85% of your wages going to food. Food was super important. It was, so when Jesus says he's the bread of life, you have to keep in mind that perhaps he means something that's even more significant than we could possibly understand for our age. So we're going to look at the second part of this idea that Jesus is the bread of life. I looked at the first part last week. Let's look at looking at the reaction from the crowd. Verses 41 through 43 and then verse 52. I call this disbelieving and disputing. And so in verse 41, the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered him, "Do not grumble among yourselves." And verse 51, skipping down, verse 52, excuse me. The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And so these Jews, and notice, by the way, that in verse 59, it says that some of this discussion was in the synagogue in Capernaum. It doesn't say when that started. Right, because this whole conversation started with the people coming back across the lake, and they find Jesus, and so there's some of this conversation is happening out I imagine outside, but also some of this conversation is happening in the synagogue itself. They're flabbergasted by Jesus' words. In particular, they refuse to believe that Jesus came down from heaven. "We know his parents," they say. Their grumbling or murmuring shows that they are in line with their forefathers, who complained about the manna provided them. Right? If those of you who know your Bibles, you perhaps remember in Exodus and Numbers that there are great complaints that are going on, and there are almost always grumbling. For those of us who have children or who have been around children, you know what that grumbling sounds like, right? something muttered under the breath. But it really shows that these men and women are spiritually dead. They're not interested at all in Jesus, except for what he can do for them. The longer this conversation continues, the further away they are from the truth of the gospel. Right? Again, looking at verse 52. They are fixated on the literal interpretation of Jesus' statement regarding the giving of his flesh for the world. It's almost as if they're saying, surely he's not saying he's a cannibal, so what does he mean? They're just so dull that they just don't get it. I'm sure some of us can relate to that. 1 Corinthians 2:14 speaks to that, where Paul writes, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Well, we have a lot of disbelieving and disputing going on here. Verses 41 through 43 and then verse 52. And the second part I want you to see this morning is the feeding in faith. We're going to go looking at verse 48 through 51 and skipping down verses 53 through 58, skipping 52. Let me read that again for us. Verse 48. "I am the bread of life," Jesus says. "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, that's so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And skipping to 53. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you," and there's that truly, truly. So note that, because it's very important. It's kind of what Jesus is highlighting. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks on my blood shall abide in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. So Jesus restates his claim to be the bread of life. Verse 48. He then compares himself to the Old Testament manna his interlocutors have brought up. He makes these points. To eat of this bread is akin to having eternal life. It's similar to the living water in John chapter 4, right? That Jesus invites the woman at the well to drink. He says, drink the living water. And of course, she doesn't get it either. She's dull to it at first. Jesus is the living bread. He comes from heaven to bring eternal life to those who believe in his name. He also claims that he will give his life, indeed his flesh, in order to bring life to the world. You see that there in verse at the end of verse 51? And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This brings the ideas of ransom and sacrifice and the cross. Without him mentioning these words, he's saying all that when he compares his life to this bread. And that's consistent with what the New Testament says, right? Mark 10:45, Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 23 talks about it. The writer of the Hebrews says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Notice it's by the blood of Jesus and through his flesh that this happens. In Revelation 5, they sang a new song in verse 9, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Ransom, sacrifice, the cross, they're all here. And so Jesus did not just come to teach, not just come to preach, he not just come to do miracles. He came, as 1 Timothy 1 talks about, to die. He was born to die. That was his mission. It wasn't a plan B. It wasn't a, gosh, isn't that too bad kind of thing. It was the worst sin ever committed, of course, was to crucify the Son of God. But in so doing, Jesus fulfilled his mission. He gave his life as a ransom and as a sacrifice at the cross. And after the Jews dispute his claims in verse 51, Jesus doubles down on his bread of life analogy, highlighting that his flesh and blood are true food. Just as those who drink the living water of John 4 will never thirst again, so it is with the bread of heaven. So he's not literally saying that his flesh is real food. He is saying that his flesh is true food and his blood is true drink. That is, it will truly satisfy. I have this habit. I keep eating. Even when I stop eating, do you know what happens? I start eating again. There may be hours between those times. I just have this habit of eating. I do the same thing with drinking. It's kind of annoying. I drink something, and then my thirst is taken care of. And what happens is a few hours later, I drink again. And I just have been drinking all my life. I wonder how much time I've spent drinking my whole life, perhaps a year by now, of eating and drinking. Jesus is saying, in a sense, this is the true bread that comes from heaven. I am that bread, and I alone can satisfy. Much has been made of the eating of flesh and drinking his blood. However, when Jesus began using this metaphor in verse 35, which is from last week, right? Verse 35 says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." When he started using that metaphor in verse 35, he spoke of coming to me and believing in me. So verse 55 is not promoting cannibalism, rather showing how believers must depend upon Jesus for spiritual life, just as they would depend upon physical food. Right? So this passage is not about the Lord's Supper, but it does inform the rite. Right? Verse 56, When we feed upon Jesus spiritually, he abides in us and we in him. That's certainly one of the meanings of the Lord's Supper, is it not? We take Jesus, we feed upon him spiritually by faith. When we come to this table, we are really saying that only Jesus can satisfy. Isn't that kind of interesting that he alone can satisfy, but yet we do this weekly because we forget. I get hungry, so I eat again. I get thirsty, so I drink again. And I forget the good news of the gospel far too readily. So every Sunday, we hear the gospel preached from this pulpit. We see the gospel presented at this table. That's for us, because we are forgetful. We are forgetful people. So that's all that. That's what's going on when Jesus is talking about his body and his blood. But then in the midst of this, in verses 44 through 47, there's some really interesting tidbits of what I call remarkable truths regarding the Christian life. First of all, look at verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So Jesus is really talking past his listeners, right? These are the ones that really just don't get it. But we get to hear what he says here. And so building upon verses 37 through 39, he then gives in verse 44 another statement of predestination. That doctrine is everywhere, right? Verse 37 through 39, I'll read that again for us from last week. Jesus says, all that the Father gives me, it will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I am coming down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose nothing of all that he has given me, for raise him up on the last day. So building on that, Jesus insists that in order to know him, we must be drawn by the Father. That's what he's saying in verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. What does that mean, being drawn by the Father? Doesn't mean Jesus is drawing. There's not the Father's drawing a picture. He's drawing us. He's wooing us. He's pulling us in. He's pulling us in. We cannot, in our own natural state, choose to put our faith in Jesus. We can't do it. We're unable to. It's not part of who we are. As we've been talking about in our Sunday school class, our adult class, we've been talking about the idea of covenant. Our federal head, Adam, ruined it for all of us. Right? When he chose to sin, that made us all sinners with a sin nature. I think some folks think that perhaps religion is like a catalog. We can just choose one that suits us. That is not how it works, at least with Christianity. You cannot become a Christian unless the Father himself is drawing you to himself. You cannot become a Christian unless the Holy Spirit, the Hound of Heaven, renews you. And you cannot become a Christian without Jesus saying, this one is mine. Notice also the second thing there in verse 45. It's written in the prophets, everyone will, and all, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So those who come to Jesus have been taught by the Father, since Jesus is the Son of God. So to hear Jesus speak is to hear the Father speak. And everyone that is truly God's has been taught by the Father. That is, he learns something. That is, he learns who Jesus is, most importantly, about what our sin is and how he meets that need. And then verses 46 and 47. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. That is the most straightforward statement, isn't it? Whoever believes has eternal life. But Pastor, you're just talking about predestination, but what about these things about God keeping us and God choosing us, and then and God the Father gives to the Son a people, and then the Holy Spirit renews them? And well, those things are all one-to-one. Whoever believes has eternal life. I will tell you that those believers that have eternal life are those who have been chosen by the Father, been redeemed by the Son, and been renewed by the Holy Spirit. And so there's a one-to-one ratio. There's not some sort of elite Christian group that somehow has been chosen, and then there's the rest of us who kind of found our own way. No, these are all the same person. If someone comes to know Christ, it's because the Father has chosen him or her. This person has learned about Jesus in some fashion, and then he or she then believes and has eternal life. There is no other category. There is no other category. Even those who come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior and aren't Presbyterians and aren't into predestination, they've still been chosen by God. It's not something that you adopt. It's something that is true. It's something that has happened. Listen to these words as we kind of wrap up this morning from Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul talks about this very idea. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ through heaven, things in heaven and things on earth in him. Then finally, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Jesus claims, I am the bread of life. He has been sent to redeem people like me and people like you. Listen to these words from Isaiah. I recently preached a mini-series in Isaiah. Hopefully these words are familiar to you. May this can be an invitation to you this morning, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian. Listen to these words. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. I'll make you with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Dear friends, if you're like me, you run around looking almost for every other place to find spiritual sustenance other than Jesus. We have a bad habit of doing that. We set aside the gospel because we want to be a part of it. We want to be helpful. We want to help God. It kind of reminds me of when I was little, perhaps, and also when my kids were little. And I can pick on Noah because he's not here. When Noah would often say, helping, helping, helping. That's when I knew he was drawing with a crayon on our bedsheets. And that's how we are. We're always asking to help God. We want to help God out. We want to provide for ourselves some sort of spiritual sustenance. All we are to do is to believe. All we are to do first is to have the eternal life. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Do you feed upon him for your salvation? Do you trust in him alone for your care? Do you believe upon him? For he gives his life. We started this by talking about food and about how we are removed from it. One of the things that of course, is tricky on that show of Survivor is that they oftentimes named the chickens before they killed them. And that made it harder for them to kill them. Because I've seen a lot of the episodes of that show, I've never seen the chicken jump into someone's arm and say, okay, go ahead and take my life. I give it to you. But yet, isn't that what Jesus does? Jesus gives his life for us. That's how he is the bread of life. He willingly gives himself so that you and I may have life and life to the fullest. Feed upon him alone by faith, particularly now as we come to the table. Think about that. Let's pray together. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the bread of life. We thank you that you sent your Son to claim sinners like us and to give his body as a ransom for us. Help us, Lord, to live lives of gratitude and thanksgiving. Help us, Lord, to always, always to go to these wells where there's deep water, to go where there is the living bread and eat and have our fill. Feed us, Lord, feed us from your table. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.